Mr. Milburn, reel 5. Now, you'd, after the crossing of the Volturno and the headquarters had come up and you've been working with this OP position, what's the next thing you remember about the actions around the Volturno?
He wanted a transport officer. Because they took the 18 set off and put it in the house and had to go back to the landing place and bring them up. So I brought them up and we must have wanted something special, you know, to bring up some transport and then get it moving. Then I had to take them back. So, I got halfway back and they started shelling, you know. He jumped out the jeep and he said, "I'll walk the rest." So I said, "Fair enough," and I turned around and come back. And then it was a lull. It seemed to be a lull in the fighting. And we sort of, there was a lot of actions, you know, and there was a lot of casualties, right? There's other jeeps there, and they were quite busy, you know, ferrying and some of them back. And then when I come back, I think then we were, I can't remember much about it, but we'd come out on rest, I would say, just to a place, I think I remember the name, Casali or something like that. And Ronnie went round and got the digs, and we got bedded in, you know. And the Div concert party come up, the Div band.
What were they like?
Well, it was good. I was champion. It was great.
What sort of a show did they put on? Do you remember now?
Well, there was comedians and singers, and sketches, and there was the band as well. I can't remember whether the band come with them or not, but they put good tunes on, you know. Because I'll always remember the first tune that he played. Don't get around much anymore, you know. And memory tunes, I remember we played that with him. Of course, the comedian said, "Well, it was one of Hitler's songs, he didn't get around very much." Funny thing, you know. And nothing to do with it.
Were there any civilians around? And
there was a few civilians.
How did you get on with the Italians?
We got on all right, you know. They didn't like to be chucked out the houses and out the rooms, let us in. But we got on all right with them. Because you know, they were seen as scared, you see, just the same. They would get all right with the Germans as well, because when you're scared, I think there's a war on, you've got to get on all right with anybody that comes up. Or, you know, it's not very good for you. Oh, we got on all right, and as I say, we have this. And I think we went from there to cross the Tiano. And when we got there, like the tanks, they couldn't find a place, you know, for it to cross. It was only a tributary, you know. It wasn't a big river like the Volturno, but they were looking for a spot to get over. Eventually, they found the one, and then I went over as well. And there was a few casualties there. I remember two lads lying there. And when we went out the road, I followed this tank up, and it got hit. It either got out of mine, or it was hit. I couldn't remember at the time, because it shook us like what happened, because it wasn't very far back. And it blew the front track off. Anyway, I went up and I went past them, and went up to the VHQ was up there. Now, after that, somebody went through, you know, went through us. You know, it was Leicester or Leighton's or what. But they went through and we were sort of resting there.
And what had you been carrying on your jeep when you went up that day?
I'd been carrying some ammunition. Because the RSAME looks after the ammunition, you know. And he was up there. And we got the coops up and such like. and, you know, on a feed. And I went up to, with the Sergeant Major, Sergeant Major Martin, I think they called him. I went up with him to pick a, there was a wounded German, and I went up to pick him. Well, we got there, he'd been looked after a bit, he had a tourniquet on, but he'd done away himself, so that was the finish of that way. And I think after we got over the Tiana, we went up, and Jerry blew this big bridge up so we couldn't get any further. So I think we come up then, and the next time we went up to a place called Sessa. And Captain Reynolds organised, we couldn't get over this bridge, and what a big bridge it was. I remember when we got over it, and we went past this place, the detonator box broke, you know, like that. And a couple of Germans there, and they must have just pressed it down, and they'd been too near. And in the blast, they were just sitting there, but they were deadly. And Reynolds had this, like a detour. So he started, he'd give you something, you know, and the last, he'd give the last one a flag. When he was through, then anybody that was coming this way to get through and so on, you know. And eventually we got into Sessa. And from there we went up to get on to where the Garigliano was. Garigliano River. In Ponte Road. That was a bit of a nasty spot. I used to travel down there quite a lot.
What exactly would you be doing in an area like that? What was your daily
taking
job?
And getting, hunting for water, water cans, you know, and hunting for water and taking them back to the cookhouse, because the cooks was up there, you see. And on the top of the Ponty Road, like, because the companies was down in the valley. And I used to go down to the companies and bring anybody that was wounded. Or, you know, and take some rafting film.
So you're a bit of a jack of all trades from the transport.
I was, you see, you never knew what you were going to carry next, you see. If you, I mean, there was times when you had these ambulance things on, you know, but they were never a success because they were high up, and anybody got on a stretcher, they wouldn't get on. You know, he was like more or less a walking wound, and he wouldn't get on because they were very high up, you know, and the terrain was terrible, you know. It wasn't a road, you just had to make your own roads. You got roads that tanks had made, and you used them, you see. But they never caught on them, so I was glad to get rid of them because they were bloody nuisance. You had to take them off if you were anything else, you see, you had to take them off. And that's where Major Joey, I went down and got him out. He had Jones told him to go to the hospital. And I got him in the Jeep, and he's Batman as well. And coming up this very steep hill, and I did him a joyride, like, you know, because you put your foot down. The Batman was in the back, he was nearly falling out the back, you know. When he got up the top, had a good laugh over that way. And that was on the Pontry Road, and there was compor and ammunition all the way along the road. And it was in full view of the Germans, you know. They didn't shell it all that much. But it was a nasty valley, that, for German patrols, you know. They used to come up. And at one time, when there was a section in this house, when I went down with the rations for them, there was nobody there. And Jerry said, come up with what we used to call it Winkle. It was Winkle, and there was two signals got caught there, you know. And I used to think, like, it was all just tricking them up, you know, they'd cut the wire. And then when I went to mend it, they just nipped them, you see. This is where the story goes about Winkling, that I wrote it in the journey, you know, a little bit about Winkler, I don't know whether it's interesting or not.
But yeah, tell me.
I've been out putting for some water, these little water cans, you know. And on the way back, I remember petrol, you see. So I thought, oh, let's get some. So I got up and I saw this bloke standing in a big heap of cobble lattice, you know. And asked him, I said, you look after the Jeep timer and see if I can get some petrol. Because you know, there was like tap army was further up, you know, the advance the army, what they called the TAC army. So I went away and I got some petrol, like, and well, what he said to me, he says, well, he says, I don't know, he says, I don't know about looking after the Jeep. He says, there was three of us here, my pal was here on Monday night, and I've never seen him since, and my other pal was here on Tuesday night, and I've never seen him since. He says, I think it's just a matter of time for me. And of course, when I come back, he'd gone, because his mates was taken prisoner, you know. And I was just an orphan, wondering if you ever saw him. It's a bit funny, like, you know, it's a bit, it's half truth and half truth and the other. But it's just serious and fiction at times, isn't it? Anyway, that we went from there up towards Camino.
Now, how did you manage about petrol normally? I mean,
always, always plenty of petrol, and you had a spare can, you know.
Would you fill up from cans?
Pardon?
You'd be filling up from cans all the time, would you?
You were, unless you got further back, and then they were from these drums, you know, and you pumped it out.
And it was petrol, not diesel?
It was petrol. Right, petrol. And
but it wasn't normally a problem?
No. No, I don't know. We had plenty of petrol. As soon as they went any further, they brought the pipes further up each time, you see. Because they couldn't bring them too near. Because they're too dangerous. Right? But there was always... And then there's lorries used to come up with jerry cans in. And they were... They were always handy. Water seemed to be the problem there.
I was just going to ask, when you looked for water, were you looking for water dumps, or were you looking for water to fill cans?
Running water, you know, like wells and things like that.
So you'd fill the cans up?
We'd fill the cans. I remember filling the cans at this place. There was plenty of water, you know. Next time we wanted water, we took the queue out of us, and when we got there, it was running. You know, I was wondering whether the eye ties had blocked it up. But anyway, we couldn't get anything there, so we went to another place and got some. But there was wells there with sulphur. There was water there, but you know, when you saw it was blobbing. But we used to use that. But it tasted terrible. Like sulphur, you know. That was down in the plains, near the Garigliana. And we went to and their object was to take Camino, you know. So we all moved up, and in a little village, and they got the cooks there, and, you know, like there was everybody moved up that could, and we got fed then. Something happened to the rations, and we had bloody corned beef, you know, for 3 weeks, probably moved 3 weeks up in that area. And it was terrible, it was raining, and you know, you're getting bogged down. And anyway, the action was that we're going to take Camino, and Monty was still in the family on the other side. Well, he came over, and they arranged to bring guns from there, and they brought guns from the other side, and all the artillery they could bring. You know, it's fair, and they made a 24-hour barrage. And the man boy started, oh my God. I was just thinking, like, nobody could live. And you know, when it died down, you know, there was still the machine gun fire.
From the Germans.
But there must have been bomb happy a bit, I think. Anyway, they managed to, they took this Camino. And that was when we had a few casualties there, like. And there was one chap, I heard that we had another draft, you know, from the 14th. And this chap that comes to us, he says, oh, he says, there's a chap come from where you live, Berlin, according. So when it had finished and they were coming out, I went to look for him and he'd been killed. So he hadn't been in the country 2 hours, you see. Well, he'd been in 2 hours, I was saying, but he'd been in the country a few hours anyway. And I often thought, you know, it was a good job the battalion was out the line when I got there, because I listened to the chaps, but he hadn't time, you see.
What do you mean? What advice did you get?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We said something about the Italians, you know, not good fighters and that, fighting with ice cream, you know. Comments. Of course, the blokes are sort of up, you see, you're fighting those old bloody ice cream comments up there. But this other chap called him Ledgate. He's my father was a bookie. And I got on well with him. He was a sergeant of police. And then a quartermaster got knocked out. And he was quartermaster in the end. But we were, when they got Mount Camino, we moved up. And we were sort of reserve. We were amongst 25 pounders. It was a battery of 25 pounders, you know, firing all day and, you know, all night. And we were supposed to, well, we were reserved, like, we weren't on this, but we were reserved. And there was terrible, really, mud and everything. And I remember one little incident, this went down to this farmhouse, right eyes, and they'd been digging a well, you know, and they got it finished. And they were shouting at me, telling us to, they have a funny way of telling you to come, you know. They wave in that way when they want you to come, and that way when they want you to go away. And I didn't know what the hell they were. I went over near this oxen, was down this well, nose and tail touching. So I come back and I told Captain Casey, and it was, a Lieutenant Casey was then. I told him about it, and then they got a bulldozer up. I think they got it out, you know. It was just one little incident, one little cameo.
So who was in charge of you then? I mean, who told you what to do every day?
The Sergeant Major, the company commander, and the word would be carried down. And if I had to go back to Vierschlong to get anything, well, you know, I'd be told go back to Vierschlong and do this and that, you know. There was no worry, you know. It was like the jeep was nearly always there with them, you see, and we used to, you know, hide it. And if you had to, you know, if you had to go anywhere, he would tell you. And of course, we used to hide, you know.
Where would you hide it? What I mean?
Well, back of houses or something. You know,
just out of
camouflage it a bit. You know.
With what?
Well, we had nets. We had camouflage nets, you know. And of course we dug in there, because there, we were lying there, you could say casino, and where they were, and quite a bit of shelling went off. And they got, they took Camino, but after that, it was a bit of a dead loss. It was winter, and we were bogged down, so we got bogged down there for quite a bit.
What was it like? I mean, the weather and all that.
Well, it was terrible. You know, when it was hard, frosty, you hardly dig in. It took a little bit doing. Because, I don't know whether I put this in or not, but I found a nice little spot that was soft. And when I got so far down, it was bloody terrible. You know, it smelled of shit, and it had been a jerry latrine, I think. Must have been, so I got over there and it took ages to get it off my boots and that. But I'd got a soft spot, I thought I was bloody fine. But it turned out it wasn't so good.
What about the cold and the rain?
Oh, it was cold. I had my long johns late. But
did your health suffer at all? I mean,
no, we see you were fit, you know. You must, you know, the training that you'd gone through, that was the time you knew what it was for. you know, a lot of things that you went through. And we come up from there, and Vesuvius was looked at about the time we were in there, and they wouldn't say anything about that, they wouldn't do. The rover went round, and Jerry had landed down the coast, and he'd come up. I was a rover, but it would never happen to me. But when we brought us out the line to go on rest, and the colonel said, when he got us all together, you know, he says it's one of the worst three weeks we've had, you know, with the weather and various things. The advanced casino didn't come off. Patton sent his army up. There was a battalion, well, it would be a battalion anyway, went in when we were coming out, and they were taking over from us. And God help them. The Rapido River, you see, it was fast. The name was made it fast. They got the high tides. So I know a station called, I went up to the station, took an officer up to liaison with the Americans. They were in this house at the station when he was there. I remember taking the officer up, and can't remember what happened, but we came out after that, and we went to Naples, and we boarded the Sobieski, and went to Egypt. I mean, that's as much as I can remember about it.
When was the time that you took the officer up without any ammunition in your gun then? Was that during that period? That's later on. Sorry. Yeah. So, were you relieved to get out of Italy?
Oh no, what was I was relieved to get out of the lane as well. Like, although, I mean, I didn't have as hard as an infantryman, you know. I mean, you can imagine, I mean, I was better off than them. But I was still in the firing lane, you see. I always felt, you know, for them. I always thought, money for them, I mean, because when they were, you know, when they sort of went forward a bit, I stopped where I was for a while, you see. Of course.
Were there any? What about the characters in the battalion at that time? Were there any you remember? It'd be Preston then, the colonel.
Preston. What
was he like? I mean, would you see much of him?
Oh yes, I.
What did you think of Preston?
Oh, damn chap! I remember when we moved up from the Volturno, when we were in this big house, you know. And I was outside, and he came out. You know, he was just standing, and the bloody shells were going over, and the woman would say, "Oh, that's a nasty one," you know. And I was pretty frightened, and he was standing there. I was ready for going diving somewhere in the house, you know. And he just stopped there, so I thought I'd better stop with him. He's a nice chap, gentleman, yes.
Was he popular?
Very popular, Johnny, very popular.
What about other officers or characters you remember?
Tom Reynolds, who used to get the naffy rations. He used to go out and he used to bring the naffy rations up, you know, Tom. And he was a right character, you know. When we come out the lane, we wandered wine and that. He was weird. He always come back with some wine.
Was he an NCO or just a driver?
No, he was a captain.
Captain?
Tom Reynolds. After that, I had a nickname for him, I can't remember who it was. But anyway, I had a nickname for him. He was a bit of a lad, he was. Big, tall chap. And he as I say, because it's later on this way, he used to organise things, you know.
Okay. Any other characters from that first period you remember, or stories?
Well, there was a little bloke, another Jeep driver. Titch, we called him, mate. He was a funny lad. He was always cracking jokes and all things. I just can't remember. He used to be a bit of a drawer. He'd drawn a Popeye on the side of his cheek, but he had to get it off.
Why?
He wouldn't allow that. There was nothing, you know. You know, some had the names of the wives and that, Elsie and things like that, you know. But of course, they were dead nuts on that. They were dead nuts, no, nothing like that.
Just the Durhams, or was it the brigade or division that wouldn't allow it?
No, the Durhams, well, it'd be the Durhams, I mean. Because it couldn't, might not have allowed it in the brigade.
Did you have divisional markings and things on all your jeeps and everything?
69 was ours. And if, you know, if you went up at night time, there was these cans with dots on, with 69 on. See, so you knew where you were going. And, you know, the light on the side, you know, just. And that was ours, you see. What are called designations or something, isn't it?
And what was morale like before you left? I mean, was it holding up all right in the battalion?
It was a bit. They were getting a bit fed up, you know, with this.
How did it show?
The weather and such like. And so as the new coming out, you know, it brightened up a bit.
Was it the weather more than the continuous fighting, or?
It was the weather there at that time. Because they were trying to get the casino, but there was deadlock. Many a day it was deadlock, you see. You couldn't move. Couldn't move any transport or anything. The tanks even couldn't get going. It was slushy and muddy over here. The bottom of Camino was right muddy. And that used to be a road we used to... I used to travel down there.
What was it like driving in those conditions? I mean, was the Jeep good for it?
Oh, my God. The Jeep lived up to its name. It was utility all night.
Did you have to use the chains?
No, we didn't use the chains there. We didn't use the chains. Mostly I was in this, if we didn't get up to the front, mostly I was in this village, you know, that they used to shell. Because once we come back into this village, and there was just patrols. And of course, we were short of men then, you know, because quite a few casualties. And I had to go to get everybody to go on this patrol, so I got dressed, you know, to go on the patrol. And Casey come, and he says, where are you going? Well, I said, I'm just going on this patrol. He says, you'll get back to your Jeep there. So I just says, thank you, sir. Very much, sir. Come on. So I went back there.